Jim Corbett covers the NFL for USA Today, and he's kind enough to join us on the Revel Wireless Hotline to talk some football. And, Jim, let's start, as we always do, with the Browns and your thoughts on this team that is trying to get it going with a new head coach and a whole new makeover administratively and some new players obviously brought in through free agency in the draft. But we know it's the AFC North, very tough division.
Yeah, Vic, you nailed it, and it's a quarterback division, and the Browns are still finding out from their rebirth that, you know, long-term riddle, do they have a quarterback? And, you know, I think Brandon Weeden will get every chance to show that. Certainly Jason Campbell will push him, but it's Weeden's job to lose. And just having been down in Miami and looking at the numbers, Ryan Tannehill had a very promising season, but both he and Weeden were forgotten, lost in the shuffle of, you know, Andrew Luck, RG3, and Russell Wilson, guys who made the playoffs and dazzled. And so it's their year to make that year two jump. And certainly with Rob and North Turner, his specialty being a quarterback polisher, you would think that this is a better fit for Weeden in the shotgun offense. And I like what they did. They kind of took the mentality like, all right, we're not good enough with all the pieces yet on offense, so let's go build this defense. And Ray Horton, who arguably could have been a head coach or should have been a head coach, now has a chip on his shoulder and has built an attacking 3-4 defense with a lot of good pieces in Kruger. We'll see what they have in Mingo, but certainly Desmond Bryant. And I think that'll buy... you know, take some of the pressure and buy some of the time for Weeden in a tough division where three teams arguably can make the playoffs with Baltimore, certainly, if Pittsburgh can get back on track with their run game, and certainly Cincinnati, an up-and-coming team.
Jim, would we be looking at Brandon Weeden and, say, Ryan Tannehill, a guy you just were checking out during their offseason workouts in Miami, would we see them differently had we not seen what Robert Griffin III and what Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson did this past season?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think it was Gil Brandt, the godfather at Sirius Radio and NFL.com, who said it so well that Tannehill, he thought, would have been the number one pick in this draft. So those guys, you know, took a little bit of a hit, and you know, but their team should be better for them having played and gotten, you know, I sat with Joe Philbin, and he told me that it was 980 snaps that Tannehill got, and when you look at it, his numbers weren't great, 12 touchdowns, 13 picks, 3,200 yards, more than Dan Marino threw for as a rookie, more than Bob Greasy, but the idea is that he got acclimation to the speed of the game, and I think that's where you see him better, his comfort level now in minicamp, his decision making. I'm sure you're seeing the same thing with Weeden,
right,
in terms of a guy who's just, you know, primed to show. Obviously it's a setback when you lose Josh Gordon, your number one receiver and a field stretcher in a game that has increasingly become a long ball league. I think that's going to hurt them week one, but against Miami, ironically, but we'll see. And in terms of, I think it's important and incumbent on those guys that they up their red zone production, which was, you know, pretty bad last year with 6 touchdown passes.
What's your sense of the league's thoughts about where the Browns are with the coaching staff? That you bring in a North Turner to run the offense, and you just spoke about Ray Horton and that he was on some people's short lists for head coaching position, and will likely continue to be pursued for that. The feeling that they're aboard with Rob Chudzinski, is there a sense around the league that from that standpoint, you know, the Browns have looked like they have that much right?
You know, and that's a great point. I think, you know, when we look at free agency, we kind of forget, you know, what were the chess pieces in the coaching staffs, and here you have arguably two head coaches, well, certainly in Orv having the background, and with Chud having worked together in San Diego, where they've shared the same philosophy on the tight end, and, you know, having, you know, a good run game to support your quarterback and, you know, play action. You know, I think that's where Browns fans have a real reason to be excited, because these guys are going to be well coached and they're going to buy in. And guys like Kruger, and, you know, who was more of a backup last year than we remember, you know, yeah, he played well and played well in the Super Bowl, but he was basically a backup who had 11 sacks when you include the two in the postseason. So I think that's the best reason for hope, is that these guys will be well coached. They'll be on a good path. They may not be better than 8-8 this season, but they'll be a much more competitive team. And if they can get that quarterback riddle finally answered, then they're on their way. So let's face it, it's a quarterback league, and certainly the tight end is going to have to come on, Jordan Cameron. And, you know, he showed flashes last year, not a lot of catches, but, you know, he's a guy who he's the prototype of a former basketball player, what they're trying to replicate, I guess, in Antonio Gates, who both those guys know.
And how do you see the offense evolving with the running game? And we, you know, Trent Richardson, was such a focal point last year because he was the third overall pick of the draft. Comes in and has a solid rookie season, not the one that a lot of people expected. Injuries were a part of that. But in a North Turner offense, which has produced some very highly effective, high-impact running backs, how do you see Trent's fit in North's scheme?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the other strengths is the offensive line, and it's a really good offensive line. Joe Thomas being a prototype left tackle, six-time Pro Bowler, Alex Mack, the center, just having some good pieces. If Jason Pinkston comes all the way back from the blood clot last October, if I remember, and, you know, maybe a little bit of a question at the other guard, but more of a battle, but I think it's Mitchell Schwartz who had a really good year. So if they can get him some help, I think that's where they're looking for that Terrence Sproles type of change of pace guy. Maybe it's Deion Lewis, but give Trent some help, you know, a little bit, spell him a little bit, save him for the long haul. But, yeah, I mean, I thought he did well knowing that he was banged up with two ribs, maybe more damage than he let on, and still almost had 1,000 yards and the 11 touchdowns. So if they can balance out the equation, that's where they're going to be better. And I forgot to mention that, you know, Devon Bess, who was very good in Miami last year, didn't score a lot of touchdowns, but really what you need him to do is be that third down, you know, chain mover.
Jim Corbett from USA Today joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jim, let's look around the rest of this AFC North. Highly competitive division, arguably maybe the best division in the NFL, and that's where the Browns got to make their headway. So how do you see it with regard to, let's start with the defending Super Bowl champion Ravens, what you've seen them do through this offseason, and just taking a look at where they are right now?
Yeah, Vic, they took some hits early in free agency, and Ozzie took some hits, and everybody was doubting, well, man, they're unraveling here, and the Super Bowl champions are just, you know, crumbling right before our eyes. People were pointing to Joe Flacco being greedy, taking too much money, and not being the Tom Brady, you know, company guy, leaving enough on the table to keep guys like Ellerby and Kruger. But the idea was, and Ed Reed as well, but the idea is that they needed to get an infusion of more speed and younger and up the middle, and they did that with Elam and Arthur Brown, the linebacker they drafted from Kansas State, and they also did it with just, I thought, really smart signings in terms of free agency, using the money and recovering when they finally got Doomerville with the fax fiasco. So now they've got some pieces opposite Suggs, and obviously Ray was up there 17 years, and it was time to turn over the roster. So they churned it, and I think they'll be better for it. They were 20th in defense. They got away with a lot of smoke and mirrors in the postseason. You know, Joe had that awesome Joe Montana-like postseason with the, 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. But the idea is that now I think they're better in terms of being a balanced equation, and I think that's the team I look to. I still doubt Andy Dalton in the biggest moments, and he's going to have to prove, until proven otherwise, that he has that strong enough arm to really time up with A.J. Green down the field. They gave him more weapons than draft, but I still like Baltimore.
You go to the Pittsburgh Steelers offseason workouts, and you don't see a certain quarterback wearing number 7 participating. He's recovering from a knee surgery. We're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, and that sight alone would be enough to, I think, to raise some concern. And then you do see, though, Troy Polamalu working his way back, but kind of slowly, from his physical ailments. Do you think the Steeler team would be healthy enough to make some noise and kind of get back to where they were?
Yeah, and getting back to where they were is the key, and I think Todd Haley wanted to do that last year. They started out really well, and Ben arguably was having an MVP type of season. They started off, you know, like a house on fire, I think 6-3, and he was really up there in terms of, you know, touchdowns and interceptions, and then he had the shoulder and the ribs, and I think the key for them is balance as well, is, you know, can Le'Veon Bell be that guy who can carry them and, you know, emerge that kind of Eddie George power back, and can they stay healthy on the offensive line? As much as Ben has been injured here and there, I have to blame, you know, tie the two together. And, you know, with DeCastro back and with the other pieces back, I think those guys, you know, can be more legit. I do wonder about Heath Miller, though, because he was so huge for them. He was their leading receiver, their leading touchdown maker, and they lost Mike Wallace, who you can say what you want, well, you don't pay for a receiver. But, again, I think that's where the game is changing. You do pay for, when we look at Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Calvin Johnson, what those guys bring, is they open everything up for everybody else. So it'll be interesting to see how Miami responds with Wallace and how Pittsburgh maybe suffers without him.
You know, you touched upon Andy Dalton a little earlier talking about the Bengals, and then you just bring up A.J. Green's name. I mean, when you think about what makes the Bengals a dangerous football team, A.J. Green's name is the first one that comes to my mind. And when you think about what the Browns have done this offseason to help build themselves up and into contention, it's that defense, it's that pass rush. It's essentially, when you apply it to facing the Bengals twice a year, preventing Dalton from having the opportunity to get the ball in AJ's hands. But do you think Dalton's a good enough quarterback that he's going to make that kind of stride to deal with pressure, to deal with all the things that a quarterback needs to do to be successful?
You know, it's interesting. I remember talking to Trent Dilfer before he came out, and he said he's a little bit like a Drew Brees grinder, you know, a guy who's just always working. And certainly Drew is a guy who people wondered when he first came into the league, is his arm strong enough? He was always good, accurate, and then he just got better at driving the ball down the field. I remember standing in Honolulu at the Pro Bowl at one of the practices next to Phil Sims, and Phil goes, wow, he can really drive the ball. And I think that's something that just, Drew just worked on, same with Tom Brady. And so you can get better and stronger as your body, you know, adds more strength, more muscle, you know, more core, and that's where Andy has to grow. And, you know, he looks like, you know, as Howie Long would say, when who was the quarterback for the Bengals way back when, he looks like the paper boy, but he's one of those guys who I think has everything else, the moxie, has the vision, and, yeah, he just needs to get a little bit better at getting that ball out maybe sooner. You can do it that way, too. So with Eifert there now and Giovanni Bernard, the running back, I think that's a great piece. I think he's a guy who can be in the mix for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Well, great stuff, Jim. We appreciate the breakdown, and we'll look forward to talking with you again down the line.
Hey, Vic, thanks so much for having me.
He is Jim Corbett from USA Today. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.